The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon. We've made it to the end of the week. It is Friday. Just 4 days ago, Alabama won the best of two series against Georgia and are the national champs for the season. And we'll talk about all of that this afternoon on the program. Let's get to some headlines before your phone calls, before the guests. And this is from Pete Thamel, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, holding a conference call. The membership of the ACC is very much aligned in its position that now is not the time to expand the college football playoff. He points to other issues that are more important to be addressed. NIL, Alston, NCAA Gov. I'm sure his constituency really concerned about all three of those. Meanwhile, they did not have a team that came close to qualifying this year. That might be a bigger concern. Meanwhile, the dead period is over. The coaches are back out on the recruiting trail, having a better idea of what they need than they did before. Eli Drinkwitz taking some dump trucks on a recruiting visit. That's Mitchell Ford. His father will join us later. And I'm your host. Welcome back to the program. It's good to have all of you here. What a week this has been. It began on Monday as we sat at Lucas Oil Stadium before the national championship game. Today we are still talking about that and many other issues. Pat Ford, 4D. We'll talk to him in a minute. Harry Lyles. How about Sam Pittman? What a win over Penn State a couple of weeks ago. And Aaron Settles. He covers the Tide for The Athletic. And your phone calls. I always say, we're still getting a lot of reaction to Fred yesterday. If you missed it, we will recap. One of the calls of the year, maybe the call of the year, early in Thursday afternoon show. Let's get to the calls, and Andre starts it off in the ATL.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, happy Friday, Coach. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, Jim Phillips is going to get more hate mail from the Big 12 and the Pac-12 than you get from Michigan by putting his foot and delaying this playoff expansion. I know it, and you know it, Coach, because the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are desperate. And, I mean, it does. The SEC really, you know, they nonchalant about it. Whichever way they want to play this thing is fine with the SEC. Well, the SEC won't settle for anything less than 12 teams. I know it, and you know it, Coach. But what do they think about moving this thing off of a Monday, Coach? I know it's in L.A. next year, but, man, Monday's just a bad day to have the national championship game. You know, this is not Monday night football, and people got to get up and go to work the next day. But, hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call, and have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, Andre. That's a really good question. I agree. Diane is up next in Alabama. Hey, Diane.
Hey, just to refresh your memory, my nephew Michael walked on at Alabama, scored a couple of touchdowns from Hoover.
Right.
And he got the Unsung Hero Award, and he also got the one that was voted by the players. I don't know exactly what that title is, but he got both of them. He is now with Kiffin. They went to South Florida, and then now they're at Ole Miss. And Michael's wife is about to have a baby, but he's with Kiffin. But I would like to just say this, and I'm not going to stay on the phone very long. I would like to say how proud I am of the Alabama football players and Coach Saban, Ms. Terry, everybody. I'm going to just say this. It's probably going to backfire on me.
Go ahead.
But I did not like the way their quarterback, and I'm not even going to say his name because I don't like him. He never mentioned his teammates. He never mentioned anything about anybody else but himself. Let me just tell you this.
Well, first of all, Diane, you're completely wrong. If you're talking about Stetson Bennett, I heard him mention several players after the game.
No, I'm talking about his interview the next morning.
Well, I'm sorry. I did not see that.
Oh, it was horrible. Maybe he had a hangover. I'm not quite sure.
Diane, so the rest of us understand what you're talking about. What was he talking about?
He was only talking about himself, and the whole thing is...
Well, Diane, first of all, why do you care, other than being a sore loser in the
game? Because I'm a major Alabama
Diane, the bottom line is your team lost. Get over it and let him have his day.
No, I am over it.
But, oh, yeah.
Paul, I do want to say this. I do want to say this before we hang up. I am extremely proud of the way our leaders...
You've already said, Diane. First of all, Diane, you've already said that. I appreciate you're being proud, but what does that have to do with anything?
That Alabama's going to beat the hell out of everybody next year.
I heard that before the game.
Yes. Listen, I'm being humble. Georgia did do a great job.
Diane, listen, just good. Wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Do we need anybody else to praise Alabama? I mean, they lost the game. Nobody's concerned about that anymore. Let's talk to Catherine, okay?
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Happy Friday.
Hey.
I want to tell you, I have learned so much from your show. I can't believe I would know what a transfer portal is or any of that. But I just love, you know, I love it. I mean, I've been listening now about 4 or 5 years.
Thank you.
I am amazed at how intelligent you are, your memory, all the people that you've met throughout your career, and the people that call in, I mean, all ages, and they share such wonderful stories. But I want to tell you, some of these other people that call in, I'm not sure how you can tolerate them. I mean, they're so disrespectful, and they think that they've made your show, but I want to tell you what. When I first started listening, I loved Phyllis and Tammy. They added so much to that show, and they were not near as obnoxious as some of these people that are calling. And, you know, and you have young children listening, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if I would want my child listening to, especially how they insult you. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Catherine, thank you for saying that, but I don't take the insults personally. My job is just to host the program and to encourage people to be themselves. And I think that's what we're trying to achieve here. And I love that part of it. The callers make what – I mean, you can go up and down the dial and get guest after guest after guest, host after host, bloviating. But to me, what separates us from others is that we all have a piece of the pie, so to speak.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was appalled at
Catherine, I can't tell you that when a caller a couple of days ago, you know, tried to get personal and was sniveling and snarky. I can't say I'm appreciative of that, especially for someone like that who we have enabled and propped up and made and helped to make into a local celebrity. But that's okay. I don't let that affect me, because I think your character is revealed by how you appear, and I think that person's character was revealed quite vividly. But yeah, I think this lady a minute ago, just her priorities are a little out of whack. She thinks through an Alabama lens, not through a lens like we try to, which is to host a program that helps all people have a good time. That's what we're here for. This is not public radio or public television where we're trying to bore you to death. We're trying to entertain you. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Sports Illustrated cover, there's Stetson, the selfish one, kissing the trophy all by himself, according to Diane from Alabama. And there's the, this is for Fred, the Alabama cover. Yeah, the bottom line says they outscored Georgia by 2 points, so they are the de facto national champion. We welcome all of you back. We're not really having that much fun. We're just acting like it. We're good actors. Dave is in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, this is Drive-By Dave. I called in the other day. I wanted to say two things. The second thing is the most important. But after that legend guy insulted you like he did, I have no respect for him at all. I didn't have much to begin with, but now none at all, and I think your show can do without him. Now, the
looks
second
like,
thing.
It looks like it's going to have to.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I said it looks like it's going to have to, somehow we will try to overcome.
Good. Yeah, that's what I got from your show yesterday. But I wonder if he knows that Bulldogs can bite the backs of elephants' legs without their trunk reaching them.
I had not heard that before, but Dave, I appreciate the enlightenment. I-Man is up next.
Biting legs without trunks. You know, that guy, he thought too much on that, didn't he?
He's from Missouri.
That's a lot of thought. He's from the Show Me State.
Show me.
I guess he showed them. You know, Paul, I was out doing my morning walk this morning. I noticed there's for sale signs up everywhere. All the regular callers moving from the neighborhood.
Yeah, they're all.
I mean, what are we gonna do?
As someone once said, we just have run off all the good callers.
No, you haven't run them. You hadn't run anybody off. They cowered it off. They took their ball and went home because they. Yeah, this is a talk show, isn't it? It's a talk show, and they can't talk. They can't take the pressure of talk, let alone getting the smile.
We've now seen in the same week, we've seen the fifth page 54 take his little pacifier and go home, and now we've seen his compatriot do the same thing.
And you know what? You talked them into a snotty corner. I mean, with all that snot out there, how did anybody pass a COVID test? It's amazing to me. What are we going to do about that?
Don't give me no COVID test.
No, don't give me one. Hey, what are we going to do about these empty houses? You know what? We're going to tear them down so they can't come back. You know why they can't come back? Because they can't take the pressure of a conversation. These guys talk themselves into a corner, and when their words bite them in the ass, they can't take the pressure. Radio gangster! You know I'm East Coast.
I mean, you're from Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm from West Tennessee, so I want you to explain
That's
to
right.
me when a guy with a Southern accent, even though he's from somewhere else, tells me I'm East. When he tells that guy the other day, "Hey, I'm East Coast." Did you hear?
Well,
did you
know,
hear
he
that
did.
Clip from Boston? Those two guys laughing at him when he said that.
I heard the entire clip, and I mean, you know, they just laughed at him like.
Now
the
Boston
police.
Is on the East Coast.
Well, there's no East Coast on Alabama.
Well,
I mean, Alabama
there,
has,
it, no, you're Alabama wrong. There has, is the East Coast of Orange Beach.
That's it. Alabama has a little bitty teeny. Alabama has the smallest spot on the Gulf of Mexico. The smallest spot. Cuba has more water than Alabama does. But I'm from East Coast. You know, I'm OG. And then, you know, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful, because this is whale money. Sapient, sapient, sapient. Have a good day.
Oh, my. It's too bad when Iron Man gets the best of those two Bama guys. Let us, I don't even know where to go anymore. I can't even see the board. Bob is in Colorado. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Listen, okay, so I am in Colorado, but I am originally from Huntsville. Big, strong Alabama fan. But I am so disappointed with some of us sore loser Alabama fans. We got beat fair and square. Doesn't matter that we had injuries. Injuries are part of football. And this was just Georgia's time. And everybody's going to have a time. We've won 6 titles in what? 12, 13 four, years?
14 years, I think, yeah.
14 years. No other program has come
13
close
years,
to
whatever.
That. But
you're right.
That's
about
what
that,
I wanted
Bob.
To say about it.
You're right.
And I mean, the program has done remarkable. The record has been remarkable. 10-plus years and 12, 13 years. No other program has come close to that. The other thing I want to discuss about is the Kayvon Thibodeau situation.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
poor guy.
I know a lot, and I know a lot of people have been giving the young man, you know, a really hard time, and I understand that, and including yourself, Paul, and rightly so. But this is what I also understand. Those words didn't originate with Kayvon Thibodeau. This has been thrown out for years by the ivory tower schools of the
yeah.
And
for those who don't know, Kayvon Thibodeau, the great player from Oregon, insulted Alabama by saying he chose Oregon over Alabama because he didn't think his degree from Alabama would mean anything. And I gave an interview yesterday. I didn't really want to talk about it. I don't like sitting around criticizing players because I don't know the whole context of the interview, but. I just don't like when people broad brush universities and you know, you can get whatever kind of education you want, no matter where you go. You know, it may not compare to some of the blue blood schools or the Ivy League schools in terms of perception, but it's still a good education if you apply yourself. And by the way, I was joking at the beginning of the show, and a lot of you didn't really catch it. Apparently, some fans. I opened the show saying we're 4 days removed from Alabama's national championship. That was a play on what happened here yesterday, but a lot of you somehow missed the humor. Alan is in Georgia. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'll try to be as brief as I can. I grew up in Alabama. I went to the University of Alabama in the early 70s, and I actually played for Coach Bryant for a little while until I broke my leg in a car wreck. I never had a chance to get on the field, but I was around it. It was my childhood dream. I grew up. My parents raised me, never rub nothing in people's face. That's what Coach Bryant taught us at the University of Alabama, and I'm just really disappointed. In fact, it really made me mad when I heard Fred's conversation the other day, because people like Fred, and I used to get a kick out of Legend, but Legend is, I have turned Legend off because Legend disrespected you. You've got a great show. I enjoy it. Try to hit it every day as I can. But it was really, the reason that people across the country have an idea of what Alabama is all about is because of people like Fred and Legend going out of his mind. Georgia deserves their championship. They won, like the guy before me said, this was their year. They've been working on this for a while. Alabama fans have got so much to be grateful for. We've got Coach Saban. We've got trophies. We've got championships. And for somebody to say what Fred said, it embarrassed me. And Fred, I hope you're listening. And Legend, I hope you're listening. Get some class. Coach Bryant, if he'd have heard Fred's conversation, he wouldn't have just rolled over in his grave. He would have turned into a tornado and headed straight to Decatur, to Fred's house. It irritates me because I was raised, Coach Bryant teaches it or taught it. Coach Saban teaches it. Do everything with class. Coach Bryant always said, act like you've been there before. When you lose, make it a point to where you don't want to go through that again and work harder. It's about working harder. This year, Georgia worked the hardest. I'm just proud of Alabama that because of the players they lost last year, you know, as much as I bleed crimson, I didn't know if they could do what they did this year or not. I had my doubts. But I'm proud of them because they accomplished what they were able to. But my hat goes off to Georgia. They deserve it.
Thank you so much for saying that. And you be well. And let me address the Legend thing. It's been the topic for days. And I appreciate everyone saying what they did. But I want to be sure people – Legend can say whatever he wants. I am not Teflon proof. If somebody wants to, you know, utter a cheap shot toward me about my looks or my height or weight or anything else, that is perfectly all right. Legend and I have always had what I think is a trust where we realize this is fun. We poke the bear, so to speak. That ended 2 days ago. I would never trust him again after the way he handled the call and then some of the things he said. That doesn't mean he isn't welcome to call here again. That just means that we would never trust him again to be a friend of this program's. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back, and it's great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. Yep, we made it. And so did Pat Forty. He's been to Indy and back. Pat, great to have you on. And before we even talk about what happened Monday night, I want to talk about what happened today with Jim Phillips, the former Northwestern athletic director. Now he's the head of the ACC. And he had quite a press conference, or at least a telephone conference, about his views of the college football playoff. Good afternoon, and give us your reaction.
Really interesting. I think basically Jim Phillips put himself first and foremost on the tracks, lying on the tracks in front of the expansion train. He's not alone. You know, there's some quibbles and some tweaks desired from the Pac-12 and from the Big Ten. But in terms of the guy that's just like, this is a total non-starter right now, that's Jim Phillips. It's an unpopular stance, but it's one he clearly believes in and his constituents in the ACC believe in. He thinks that there are so many problems that need to be dealt with first that we aren't even near ready to get to playoff expansion.
Yeah, I mean, and Jim made it clear. This isn't just some guy popping off. He talked to everyone, and I'm just trying to understand. Other than Clemson, we've only seen Florida State from the ACC make an entry into the CFP, and quite frankly, since 2014, it has been all Clemson. Why do you think this league feels like they do?
It's interesting. It's still perplexing to me because in an era of just like unparalleled self-interest by everyone, the ACC is not acting in its own best interests here. At least if you take what Jim Phillips said today as the true reasons for why they don't want to expand. Now, there may be some other things involved. There may be some real spite and anger toward the SEC for its expansion, or toward the four people that put together the playoff expansion model without getting feedback from the rest of the group. But I think I have to say, taking him at his word, the president said we got bigger problems, we got bigger things to deal with. We've got to fix some other things first before we get to that. So let's just ride this thing out, and eventually we'll lose. But for now, let's get our way.
So Pat, I mean, I think it's pretty self-evident, but is this expansion talk for now done?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. You know, I mean, they can keep talking about meeting, over and over and over. And I did love Greg Sankey's line. We're in the ninth overtime and nobody can get the 3 yards for a 2-point conversion. That's what this feels like. And I understand the frustration, and I'm for an expanded playoff, and I think 12 teams will work, and I think we'll eventually have it, but I think we're going to have to wait longer because I just think that it seemed very clear today that Jim Phillips is hunkered down in his positions, and he's not moving, and this has to be a unanimous situation. So here we are.
Pat, I'm curious about the perception of the sport, because it was back in June when this was announced. I mean, we talked, and there was such enthusiasm from the public about where we were going and the idea that it could be soon. I mean, we were thinking maybe 2 years, and Bill Hancock, who wasn't she even shooting that down, and now it's dead, and we're stuck with this convoluted arrangement. And I say convoluted not so much because of the games, but just everything about it just feels wrong now. What do you think, or do you think it's going to trickle down, or the public just will watch whatever we feed them on television?
Well, I mean, I do think for the most part, the public will watch whatever it is fed. Goats don't differentiate between a T-bone or a tin can, whatever's thrown to them. And I'm not putting our college football fans in that category quite, but I do think they like football and they'll watch whatever football they get. However, we did see a pretty small audience for the championship game. Now, I think a lot of that is SEC fatigue in a regional game. But still, I think numbers are not super robust right now. I think that college leaders need to be wary of exactly, how much you can just ask the viewing public to take. For decades, they've said, hey, 11 a.m. kickoff, yeah, you'll be there. 9:30 p.m. kickoff, yeah, you'll go. We don't, Wednesday game, Thursday game, you'll still show up. You'll still watch. Eventually, you may push the audience a little too far. I'm not saying this is it, but I do think the college leaders need to be wary that their leadership, which has gotten us down innumerable rabbit holes of problems, consequences, contradictions, and issues, don't take everyone for granted all the time.
Talking to Pat Forty and from Sports Illustrated, and Pat, let's reflect back on the season, the way it ended, and I know there's really not much to add to the Georgia victory. So I'll ask you about Alabama. I realize you're a commentator, but just your takeaway from Monday night, what it means for both schools looking forward, as well as the state of college football.
That's a validation for Georgia. It's a flesh wound for Alabama. Alabama's going to be number one next year. Should be, deserves to be. Got the news today. Henry Toto's coming back, and they already are going to have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and the best player in college football in Will Anderson. And they're going to have Nick Saban. So I'm sure disappointment that they couldn't win, and the biggest rival in the country is, you know, one state over. But this was Georgia's time. I thought they had the best team all season. I know they obviously took a big defeat in the SEC championship game. They benefited from some key injuries for the Crimson Tide. But I do think this was Georgia's time to win a title. Now, can they sustain that? Can they do the hardest thing, which is what Nick Saban has done, which is to win over and over and over? That remains to be seen. I like their chances to win multiple titles, but Alabama's done it, and I expect Alabama to be in the pole position starting next year again.
Pat, finally, going back to something you said a minute ago, and that's the SEC fatigue, which did show up in the ratings, and I think when you compare what the audience was for Monday night and look at this weekend, which used to be not a great weekend of football for the NFL, but now is really, they call it the super wild card, and the numbers are going to be astronomical. It just seems frustrating for those of us who really care about the game to watch this stall routine, and I'm just wondering what is going to be different next year and the year after and the year after, because we know the SEC is still going to be part of this arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of competitive balance, you know, I think the only thing that could be different is Ohio State, who should be excellent. They've got to shore up their defense, and that's why they went and got Jim Knowles to do that. But otherwise, I mean, shoot, Paul, I had to do our 2022 top 25. I wasn't feeling good after number three. So I went Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and then I'm like, I don't know who to put four. And then by the time I reached nine, I wanted to quit. So, I mean, we'll have teams that will fill all that out and they'll be good, but I think the top is once again going to be pretty far ahead of everyone else, which is a problem. We could be once again heading for at least one non-competitive semifinal. And that's way premature, but just on paper, looking at it, it's hard to get super enthusiastic about a broad-based competitive season, and that's an issue. And if you do have a 12-team playoff, people aren't just looking saying, gosh, can we get in the top four? Can we get in the top 12? Can we win our conference when we've got a chance, you know? So it would absolutely be for the best of the game nationally to have a bigger playoff with more interest, more people, and better to recruit to for those schools. If you're USC and Oregon and Washington, whoever out west, you can say, hey, come be on a playoff team because we're going to go, you know. And if you don't have that to sell, I think that's one more reason for everybody to look and say, all the best players to say, I'm going to the SEC.
Finally, Pat, I know the NCAA convention continues next week in terms of trying to restructure that organization. NIL is out there. I saw it where Jim Phillips is more concerned about Alston and all these things as opposed to the playoff. But as you look ahead, what do you think are going to be the biggest issues or the biggest issue for the next 6 months before we get to the next college football season?
Well, I mean, Jim's absolutely right that there are a lot of issues, and they are thorny. Now, you know, does that make for a great Feinbaum show getting into the wonky weeds of NIL and Alston and all that stuff? Not necessarily. But, I mean, that stuff is real, and I do think, you know, they let the NIL and the immediate transfer horses out of the barn, and now they're like, oh, gosh, can we get them back? And no, the horses are galloping about the pasture. It's going to be tough to bring that back. But they've got to get their arms around that, and that's going to be a huge topic of conversation next week in Indianapolis. I don't really know what the answers are, and unfortunately, I don't think they know what the answers are. I mean, the lack of leadership is deafening. I will say this, Paul. The championship game was in Indianapolis. Did anybody see or hear a peep from Mark Emmert, who's, you know, right there, right downtown? No. He was completely absent, and I know they don't run football, but I thought that was symbolically important as well as the NCAA continues to recede in terms of relevance.
Yeah, and for those who don't understand the geography of downtown Indianapolis, I mean, he could walk to the game without really getting that cold.
Easily, absolutely. I mean, the NCAA headquarters are across the street from the Marriott compound, which is connected by tunnels to Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, well, I didn't see him, and it made my visit to Indianapolis that much better. Pat, thank you for being on the show. It's always great to talk to you.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
one of the best around, Pat Forty, joining us from Sports Illustrated. Really cool. We had him. We had Pete Thamel yesterday. Hard to find two better reporters on the scene. We will take a break and get your reaction to all of that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Friday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Greg is in Indianapolis. So, hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Love the show. You know, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I am from Indianapolis. We moved here about 2 years ago, but actually from Georgia. And so just the fact that my wife's office is, you know, downtown a few blocks from the stadium, you know, I wasn't feeling extremely confident after that SEC championship game, but we we took the plunge, got tickets, and you know, that was the best decision ever.
Well, that's fantastic.
The date of the championship game was actually 1 year anniversary of my mom's passing. She passed in January, and but you know, my folks were lifelong fans, so you know, it turned out to be you know, the best celebration ever. you know, I loved when you had Elle Duncan on, because I think she just had a had a great way of channeling all the stress and anxiety that, you know, Dog Nation has kind of been on the roller coaster through. And I was, you know, I was wearing a blanket, too, after that SEC championship game. But, you know, I did have hope that if nothing else, you know, maybe a new location would, you know, get rid of all that bad mojo and exercise some of those demons, and you know, it worked.
I'm so glad to hear from you, Greg. Especially the remembrance of your mother. You be well and take care of yourself. Greg is up next.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. And you know, Bear Bryant once said to win you had to be able to win with humility, and to do that, you had to be able to lose with humility. And I think a lot of the Alabama faithful have lost that humility, and if you lack an integrity, you can never change your spots. But I was listening to your interview with Pat Forty, and I think that these discussions that have revolved around expansion have just really revealed a lot of parochialism that is really concerned about me or mine when it comes to the individual conferences instead of the bigger picture. And if they don't get over that when the new contract comes up, they're still going to have issues, and we're still not going to have all that we can do to try to make football better.
Yeah, Greg, I think they've made a terrible mistake here, but it's not going to change. And I think I'm concerned where the sport's going to be by the time that contract comes up. We will take a break. More to come.